Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of your favorite podcast, The Mitts and Twigs Show. I am, as always, your man, Mitts. With me is my dude in this throwback retro Calgary hat, Twigs. How you doing, pal?
Doing great, man. How's your week?
Pretty good week. Had the girlfriend's away this weekend, so I had some pretty fun plans. And then I accidentally got too drunk Friday night. And I was so hungover on Saturday that I didn't take part in the plans that I'd been looking forward to all week. One thing I did do, though, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever done a float before?
Like down the river?
No. Like when you go into like a pod and you sit like in salt water and you say you're like weightless.
No, I'm probably too redneck for that.
We might not have that.
I don't think we have that down south here. I don't think so.
Well, Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. He's got one in his house. But it's pretty cool. You go and you lie in these. One of them I've done is like a, I don't know, it's like a space age coffin. What I did on the weekend was like a little room. It was crazy. And you lay in the water and it's your buoyant. So it's supposed to like help you kind of completely relax. There's no sound. You can go completely in the dark as well. And so it's basically like you're completely removing anything from all your senses, right? And so it's supposed to be really good mentally. It's great because it takes all the weight off of your joints and muscles and whatnot. So it kind of feels like you'll end up stretching out a little bit. It can be really meditative. People, you know, really feel like they can explore their mind and detach from the world. I fell asleep. Because I was so hungover, I just really needed to sleep. And it was okay sleep, except that, you know, my head was so far back that I kept waking myself up choking on my tongue.
Dude, how drunk did you get?
Yeah, I got a little too drunk.
That's awesome.
It probably was the almost complete lack of eating after 2 p.m. That really caused the biggest issue. Mm-hmm.
Rookie move. I thought you were a vet.
Yeah. Well,
you just wanted to feel something again, eh?
Let's just say I'm a vet, but I'm not as sharp as I once was, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Peter Forsberg playing in the senior men's league.
Yeah.
He's still got the skills, but they're not always at service level, you know?
Yeah. He's not quite hitting the same way as he was back in the day. Damn, that sounds intense. So you just float there for how long?
My session was booked for 80 minutes.
I don't think I could do it.
So the first time I did it,
yeah,
it was a little bit more like, I was kind of like, what am I doing in here? Like, I already have like a hyperactive like brain that just won't stop. And so the last thing I need to do sometimes is shut everything else off and just listen to it. It's already kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
But with the good friend, help of my friend CBD, I'm able to kind of balance that more. And this was a pretty cool. This was pretty cool. You know, the sleep was okay. But yeah, it's good for like real deep thinking and like just resetting. It's 80 minutes.
80 minutes, man. I think I'm too ADD, like ADD to like do that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'd want to get out. You know what I mean? Like, okay, now I want to like go under or something. I don't want to just like float there. Again, I'm way too redneck for that. But who knows? Maybe I'll try it.
I can get you to visit the big city sometime.
We'll get you. The little fella, come to the big city. Yeah, I was in Calgary all weekend there. I went burger joint hopping. Just went to as many good burger joints as I possibly could. Me and the little fam, and at the end of the trip, we got in the car. My wife looked at me. She said, "I'm good on hamburgers." She's like, "I don't want another cheeseburger for like a month." We ate quite a bit. It was amazing. A bunch of smash burgers, a bunch of beer. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are we talking like breakfast burgers, lunch burgers?
So my whole goal, My whole goal was to like find the best cheeseburger I possibly could find, like smash burger wise. I don't want like a big thick one. I want a skinny one, double patty. I want a bunch of good toppings, good sauces. And the best one that I found was IYYC Burg. And they have a couple spots, but like, it was awesome. You go in there, small little restaurant. You could definitely tell it was more like takeout, grab your burger and go. Perfectly seasoned. Their housemate sauce was great. Their jalapeno relish that they put on there, fantastic. It was an amazing burger. But what it led me like super being disappointed was all the fries. Like none of these restaurants did their own fresh hand cut fries. It was it was like all the Sysco bag, cut it open, throw it in the deep fryer. Small ones. I think the one was like a crinkle cut or something like that. I was like, this is disappointing. I'm like, so the burgers outstanding. We had a milkshake with every single one, so I ate like a king. Milkshakes were great. Milkshake and a beer. Yeah, it was crazy. It was awesome. And then if you go to Clive Burger, I think it was, the milkshakes are alcoholic, so it was even better. Yeah. All right. Boom.
All right. I'm probably going to hit you up with some of those locations after this.
There you go.
We don't need to offer any completely free sponsorship.
Yeah.
I hope you've had some salad today, though.
No, I made steak nachos today. It was great. I'm just trying to put some calories on, some weight.
You'll poop next week. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of meat.
Oh, buddy.
So that sounds like a good time. It was a great time. But before we start the show, back to hockey. We had a long break. It was way too long. I feel like I haven't watched the Flames game in like a month, even though it's been 8 days, nine days, something like that. I want to get us ready. I want to get us back like in tip-top shape. So I have a little game here. I'm going to spin a wheel. I want you to build a starting five from the teams that I tell you. So you will be allowed to pick one center, two wingers, one defenseman. Or should we do two defensemen? Let's do two defensemen. And then we'll do a goalie. And it's got to be quick. From current roster. So if it's the New York Islanders, you can pick Bo Horvat because he's been traded.
Very heavily. But go ahead. Let's
do this. Okay, I'm going to spin the first one. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, it spins a little bit longer than I thought. Still going. Okay. The Florida Panthers is the first team that you get to pick a player from. Who are you taking?
Barkov.
Yeah, that was pretty easy, hey?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So we got your center position filled, Mr. Sasha Barkov.
Oh, that was a mistake. I thought we were going to do five team. Oh no.
Your next player that you have to pick from is St. Louis Blues.
Oh. I suppose I can't pass, can I? Jordan Kyrou.
Solid. So wing filled and the center filled. Kyrou, Barkov. It's pretty deadly so far. Next one. I am so sorry. This was close. You had two options here. It was almost San Jose, but you got stuck on Montreal. Who are you taking?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Do they have to be healthy?
You know what? I'll allow you. They don't have to be healthy.
I guess I'll take Caulfield.
Man, you have left zero. Like, you're going goalie DD now.
Well, I mean, I'm not taking goalie or
D. Oh, my gosh. Columbus Blue Jackets. Erica Branson sitting there right for you right now. Erica Branson, 4x4 Erica Branson.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, God. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. These last two teams you pulled are terrible.
Oh, no. I can't even remember which one of the guys is the starter, so I think I'm...
I think Korpisalo is the starter right now.
Korpisalo is the starter? I don't know.
I think so. He's played unreal lately.
Gavrikov, is he still playing?
Oh, there? Yeah, you can take Gavrikov.
Full potential,
like,
right?
Yeah, trade target like top five or something like that. Yeah, here we go. Two spots left. Kyrou, Caulfield, Barkov. And now you got to pick from the Anaheim Ducks. Why?
Klingberg,
hey.
I guess.
Okay, so you got Gavrikov, Klingberg, Caulfield, Kyrou. Did I say Barkov already?
No. I don't know, but I'm
you
not
got
feeling
one.
Good with this team.
The best is this a playoff team after eight? Okay, here we go. Okay, this one's good. You might have just gotten super lucky. Your goalie, clearly, because that's all the positions you have, is Andre Vasilevskiy.
Hey, oh man, I was I was trying to manifest that. I can't believe what I did.
No, you did. I should have like shared the screen to show you that that's what it was. Yeah. That's a solid team. That's a playoff team.
That's a wild card team, maybe.
The only suspect thing is your defense, right? You got two solid wingers, Kyrou, Caulfield, Sasha Barkov's top five center. You got the number one goaltender in Vasilevskiy, and your defense sucks ass. So yeah, it's definitely a wild card team.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that that Montreal Columbus, that hurt.
Well, you got
That hurt.
Montreal, Columbus, then Anaheim.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, trying to build a playoff team with three of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Oof. All right.
Yeah. Oof. Good way to start, though. Good little way. You were quick there for most of them. It was the Columbus stumble.
Yeah.
It was definitely the stumble on Columbus. Like the first three, you rattled like boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden, Columbus, you're like, holy shit, I gotta pick a defenseman from like one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Ugly. Ugly.
I guess, yeah. Oof, it was going to be that or Kovarsalo, and just hope that I can build out a solid defense. Hedman probably would have been.
Yeah, I guess.
Hedman probably would have been the last defensive pick, but I mean, Anaheim didn't give me any wiggle room there. There's.
Nope. No. Well, that was the quick little warm up. That was nice.
Yeah.
It was good. I don't know. Maybe it is a playoff team. I'm gonna say like you got four of those teams aren't actually. Which team is in the playoffs that you picked from? Because Florida currently is not.
Florida's not in the playoffs.
Not right now.
It might only be Tampa.
I think it's only Tampa.
Because the Blues are not in
the
playoffs.
Blues aren't. Montreal isn't. Anaheim is. Yeah. So the only
Columbus
one team. Yeah, that's terrible. That is terrible. Out of the six teams, I only pulled one playoff team. That is not good. But
it's a brutal, brutal wheel.
Brutal.
Well, I mean, there was some All-Stars on there at least. All-Star weekend.
About to jump into the All-Star.
Nicely.
You ready for this? Are you ready to discuss like one of the worst weekends in NHL hockey? Like, I almost just texted you and been like, hey, what do we got to talk about? Because there was nothing special that happened. Here's what I want to ask. Who is this for? Who is this All-Star weekend for? Because the Florida, they didn't sell out. It's clearly not for the kids because I can't imagine any kid sitting there being like, man, did you see Matthew Tkachuk come out in the shorts and his brother Brady was in the lawn chair and he was pretending to be a lifeguard? And like, it's just, the gimmicks have gone too far. Even the 3-on-3, the high scoring. I just like, give me a little effort. You know what I mean? Like I miss, and this is going to sound awful because I'm not a big Jeremy Roenick fan, but do you remember, I don't know if you do remember this, but there was an All-Star game where Jeremy Roenick actually went out and just started like cranking people, like just started hitting people. Like, I'm here. I'm an All-Star. This is what I do. This is how I play. I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Give me like 25% of that.
Yeah.
Like that's all. Just 25% of effort.
I think David Backus may have cross-checked somebody in a playoff in an All-Star game once. It wasn't a hard, but still. Yeah. That's the question though. Who is this for? But I don't think the NHL knows. I think, as always, I think the NHL has their heads so far up their own asses that they have no idea really what they're doing. They're just sitting around smelling their own farts, telling each other how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what we were talking about. I was just ranting at somebody else. But it feels like they are almost marketing it to children, to families, which I totally get. Like if you you're going to roll out your top stars. You want to showcase them. It is pretty family friendly. It's supposed to be fun and light, but you get to a point like it's not cheap enough for really most families to just go there and have a good time. They're trying to sell the jerseys, like All-Star jerseys. Come on. Like they should basically be giving them away to as a draw in. Like this All-Star weekend should be thought of as a marketing endeavor and not a way of making any kind of money, because that's all it really is. That's what it really boils down to, is you're using this as an opportunity to market your game and to just show it as what it could be at its best, show the skills at their best. But instead, they're doing these weird clown ass things.
Yeah.
They're trying desperately to showcase their player personalities.
Yeah.
But what they didn't take into account is that everything about hockey in the last like 50 years has been about washing away any type of personality. And having a personality has made you an enemy of the team. Think of anybody in the last 25 years that's shown any kind of personality. And those, almost to a T, every one of those careers has kind of gone through a lot of turmoil. Guys have been traded and moved around a lot. They don't stick with a team because they've got too much personality for
PK hockey. Subban. PK Subban. PK,
the biggest example of that.
Yeah, PK Subban was great. And he loved Montreal. It was like, even now you look back and like, that guy was truly special. Like that guy, first of all, there's only a few players in hockey that aren't built like cyborgs. Like look at the face of the NHL over the past few years. Alex Ovechkin, I don't know if he's quite the face of the face of the NHL, because he was always like rival Canadian Sidney Crosby, cyborg, right? Like he's just not entertaining. He's great at what he does, not entertaining. Right now we're dealing with no emotion Connor McDavid, unless he's at a bar and he's trying to pick up chicks, right? Like that's the only time you get emotion from Connor McDavid. And even then he looks like he's not having a good time, right? So what happened this week was you had a guy come out and you saw Brad Marchand just start tweeting and Instagramming random things that was hilarious. It was a little bit of personality. What does the NFL do really well? Those players have like their fan engagements. KD, everybody hates Kevin Durant, but he like will tweet at people that he doesn't like. And it's awesome. It brings eyeballs. He gets in it with like analysts. He loves it, right? The NHL doesn't have that. We have a few, right? Brad Marchand. I think Jack Hughes's press conferences are really good. I think Leon Draisaitl, when he goes, "Why so pissy?" That was awesome. Like there's no real face of this team. Like this, the NHL, even look at NHL viewership. Like this is to go with the NHL All-Star game. I feel like they're so scared to like jump out and try something new because they need to do that cookie cutter thing that's been successful in the past. Their viewership in the States, the second year into their new contract in the United States, is down 22%. Down 22%. We cannot, like the NHL cannot compete with the NFL, cannot compete with the NBA, cannot compete with the MLB. Right now, the MLS is going to pass it, which is cool. Like I'm fine with it being a smaller group. It doesn't have to be the big boys, but you have to start to look at like yourself in the mirror and be like, okay, why are we not changing? And I think we've had a lot of healthy debates about this too. It's like, okay, Gary, maybe it's time to like venture out a little bit, right? Try something. Let's get these players out and about, get their fan engagement a little bit better than what it is, right? Not just like it's the team. Get these players a little bit more player driven in this league than what like other leagues. But I don't know. I come out of the All-Star week thinking two things. Why the hell was it this week? Makes no sense. Here's the thing. Your NHL viewership is down because your scheduling is terrible. There's a couple days where there's two games, and then the next day there's like 12. It makes no sense. And then there's no football this week, no MLB, no nothing. There's NBA, but there's really like nothing really that's like that big. The NFL is doing its Pro Bowl. Why would you not have your All-Star game next Friday, Saturday before the Super Bowl? Makes no sense to me. You're like, now you're competing with the NFL next week.
Mm-hmm.
Just makes no sense. And I don't know, maybe I'm sitting here like thinking like it's not as hard as it should be. Maybe that's just like a every fan's perspective, but yeah, that's where I come out of this. I come out of the All-Star game like thinking like, wow, that was a waste of 8 days.
Yeah, I was rolling around in my head a lot trying to think about, I mean, I think we can all agree, and you see it across, you know, social media and, you know, even in sports media this weekend, there's been a lot of people saying the exact same thing. Former players, current analysts, fans just saying like, what is this doing? Like, same like you asked, who is this for? And I think that that's where we find ourselves in such an odd spot, because on the one hand, you can't expect players to go all out, because there's much more, like, this means nothing. It means absolutely nothing to anybody. And so the last thing you want somebody doing is tweaking an ankle or a groin mid-season when you had playoff hopes. Like, that would be.
So I get that. I get that. Like, I get like the injury aspect and all that. Right. And they're like, I totally get that, but who's it for is like, also, this is, I'm a big jersey guy. I love jerseys. I try to buy as many Flames jerseys as I possibly can. If there's a new one, I'll buy it. I would have loved to add the All-Star Game Kadri to my collection, but then it's a $320 jersey that's just screen pressed. So mm-hmm. Who's that for? It's not for the kids. It's not for the fans, because now you're selling like a very cheap quality. That's not great. So now you have a game that's lackluster. Your jerseys are lackluster. Your events are lackluster. So what's good that comes out of this? The red carpet before the All-Star game? That's what's good? So when like the players give autographs, that's what's good? There's just nothing like amazing that comes out of it.
No.
Like, I don't want to be watching Igor Shesterkin shooting a goalie stick, shooting a puck, trying to dunk Mikko Rantanen. I don't care about that. Most fans don't care about that. The one thing I do like about the MLB All-Star game, and I can't even remember, I don't follow it that much, but when I used to watch the MLB All-Star game when I was a kid, I like that it affected something, right?
Yeah.
It affected the World Series, right? So then you have a little bit of effort. And no, is it as physical as NHL? No. But there should be something like a money prize. There should be something that gets like the effort. When they first did the NHL 3-on-3 All-Star game, I remember it was really good. But there was like there was a small purse, right? And I can't even remember if it's a purse now, but I don't know. I just come out of it being like, cool. It's just lackluster.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm at the point now where I don't even think there should be an All-Star game per se. Because
no, just give the week off.
It's just absolutely meaningless. But if they wanted to do something like that, they could still name a number of All-Stars, take the week off, have them do some skills that are actually skill related and not ridiculous sideshow things, but just make it like a fan fest weekend. Yeah. Make it an opportunity to recognize guys that are having good seasons. Because first of all, the idea of recognizing a successful season halfway through the season is dumb. You're halfway. That's like crowning a champion right now. The season's not over. So let's not pretend that these are the best players in hockey, because mm-hmm. some of these guys are just having a pretty good year so far.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself, the recognition doesn't mean anything. Let it be a big fan fest thing. Give the guys time off to heal. Bring in a lot more players. Have them do a bunch of autographs, interviews, events, special events. But also, like what you mentioned, like we need some personality. We do. We need something to be kind of drawn out. Because I love Sidney Crosby. Sid's media training is insane and has been since he was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
So much so that like they had PK Subban out there on the ice just lobbing up easy conversation points to him and Ovi, and they still couldn't help but just put out like, oh, you know, we always give 110%. All he said was like, it must be nice to be able to play with this guy once in a while. And you couldn't even give him a straight answer because he went into robot mode.
Yeah.
You know, like had what could have been and probably should have been a genuinely funny moment with David Pastrnak doing Happy Gilmore. But Pastrnak doesn't have the ability to speak, apparently, you had PK basically telling everybody what was happening the whole time because everybody else was just a lifeless zombie. Like, he's like, hey, maybe the caddy could come out now. And the Allmark's lumbers over with a crappy fake beard.
Yeah.
Kachuk gets out there, be his brother to help him. What does he do? His brother sits down in a friggin' lawn chair right away.
Yeah.
Do we need a lifeguard? Yeah. Couldn't he have just been the lifeguard? Wouldn't that have made more sense rather than making us wait like 5 more minutes for another idiot to walk out there in the ice that no one could recognize because all hockey players look the same because none of them break the mold at all.
Mm-hmm. Maybe what we're coming out of this is maybe NHL players just aren't that fun. Maybe they're just like the worst, like, personable athletes out there. Like, maybe they're just all like super cookie cutter. They don't have a bunch of like personality. And then you have those rare occasions like a PK Subban, like a Brad Marchand, and everybody's like, oh, finally, a breath of fresh air. Like, that, those guys made it through the cracks. They did not, like, you know, eat right from that media spoon. They like stay to themselves a little bit, and that's why we love them, right?
I don't think it's the Venn diagram of you just happen to be boring and you're great at hockey.
I think it is. I think
it has a lot more to do with the culture of hockey and how it's brought up, and the whole idea that you're supposed to be a team player, and a team player means you don't have any individuality.
Yeah. Maybe viewership isn't up because of that. Maybe it is because there's such a, like, hockey's an old school sport. It's still super team oriented. It's still super team focused and everything like that. And then this summer you have it where it's for the first time ever. Some players are like, I'm going to leave, like a John Tavares did like a couple years ago. That brought how many eyeballs to the screen? Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau did it this summer, brought how many eyeballs to the screen? So you have a little bit of those star players like finally kind of reaching out, deciding where they want to go. Imagine if Austin Matthews does decide to move on. How many eyeballs that will bring, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the NHL is old school. I know that they say that hockey's for everyone is BS. Total bullshit, right? Like, that's not proof in the pudding. If you don't believe me, go listen to Brian Burke, right? I just think we're falling behind these other sports, and that's why revenue's not up, that's why player salary's not up, that's why all-star games suck, right? And I'm gonna stick to those guns. I think I've said that multiple times on this podcast, is it stems from a lot of things. I think it's time that, you know, we've had 30 years of Gary Bettman. I think, you know, every time you see like a big company have a little bit of a new leadership, a new regime change, even in a NHL team, it adds a little bit of new flavors, it adds a little bit of new spark. I think the NHL is to that point. You know, it's like, hey, let's try something a little bit sexier, a little bit new, a little bit like that, right? Mm-hmm. And not just worry about expansion teams, which have been super successful. They have been super successful. Credit to Gary. He's grown the league that way, but maybe we need another way.
No, I mean, the league and just the sport in general has an old school mentality.
Oh,
it very much does. I would say it's not falling behind, but it's just it is well behind, and efforts to catch up. As much as, like, I think they look at those other sports and they want those revenues, I don't think they actually want to risk anything for it. I don't think they want to grow. Because to grow, you need to take risks, and sometimes you need to fail. And I think that they're just much more comfortable, all of them, the owners, everybody involved. I don't think there's nearly enough people in there that are interested in taking any kind of a risk. It's just not who they are. It's not how they're what they're hired for. It's not what they're raised to believe in.
So let's talk revenues. I know we were talking about the All-Star game. I think both of us come out of it being like, what the hell was that, right? It was nothing special. Overpriced jerseys, not a sold-out stadium. Also, I am so, like, let's just, last little thing on All-Star games. I am so happy that it's going to Toronto. Over the moon that's going to Toronto. I'm kind of tired of these little markets getting the NHL All-Star game because they don't sell it out, right? Florida's not a hockey market. Tampa's done it, like the Tampa Bay Lightning have been extremely successful, but they've had like a lot of success, you know, and that's what happens. I don't know. I look into the crowd and it's not sold out. That's a problem. But like, let's look at the revenues. So the NFL revenue in 2022 is $17 billion. MLB is $10 billion. NBA is $10.2 billion, which actually surprised me that the MLB was higher. But I guess when they're in the summer, in September and October, there's really nobody competing, like at all. So it's like, give me all the money, right? And then you got the NHL at $5.4 billion. That's quite a difference. And we've stated it before. It's just not a good look for a sport that's been around for so long. And that when fans do find out how awesome it is, they're like, I'm a lifelong fan. But to catch that everyday sports fan, it seems like it's really hard, right? If you were to go down to the States and be like, who's the face of the NHL? Do you think anybody would say Connor McDavid? Probably not. Like it'd be pretty hard. I think, but I don't know. Yeah. Let's get it up. Let's switch it up.
Well, I think it would be like, you know, you think about the NFL, let's use them as an example. They were having their All-Star game. The Pro Bowl was always in Hawaii. That was a thing, but they've changed that. But there's also like, no one really cares because All-Star games, these Pro Bowls, they're meaningless, really. You know, especially like this year's Pro Bowl is a great example that they have like the Pro Bowl quarterbacks are like the Tyler top Huntley. Quarterbacks in each conference are either currently playing, hurt, or declined for some other reason. So like now your Pro Bowl quarterback is like the seventh best guy.
Derek Carr.
Like I'm a Lions fan. Jared Goff is in the Pro Bowl, but Jared Goff got there after like five people stepped aside. Like, so now he gets to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. That's a completely different side. We're going on a rabbit hole. What they do is with their Pro Bowl, they host it in the same place repeatedly, like over and over again. They finally moved from Hawaii and they basically are hosting it in the same place a number of years in a row. It's not something that bounces around everywhere because you can't have a Pro Bowl outdoor event in Buffalo this time of year. That's just the reality. So they don't do it. And same as the Super Bowl. They almost never go to any of the northern areas for the Super Bowl unless they have a brand new stadium that's just been built
indoor.
Yeah, because it limits what you can do if it's going to be 3 feet of snow outside.
Oh yeah.
And I get that for those kind of reasons, like maybe you would, the normal thing to think would be like, well, then that makes sense why the NHL went to Florida. But you got to think about the density of fans there. And like you said, Toronto next year.
Love it.
Toronto will sell out.
Because
it's a populous city. It's a hotbed of hockey. It's not going to be a problem for them to put butts in seats. They're not going to have to do a lot for it. There's going to be a lot of heat around it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's what they got to be thinking about, is they don't need to go outside and have them splash around on the beach like a bunch of idiots. You go to these winter markets, have it all be indoor, because if you go to Winnipeg, that place is going to go nuts because they're going to be excited.
Dude, have the All-Star game on an outdoor rink.
See, now we're talking.
Like, spice it up. Like, it up a little bit. Like, the outdoor rinks are super successful. You could do so many things with an outdoor rink.
Yeah.
Like, spice it up a little bit. Like, make it a little bit different than what you're giving us. Imagine an outdoor rink in the hotbed of hockey, Toronto. You have day one, your All-Star activities. Day two, your All-Star game, 3-on-3. Crazy. It'd be wild. It would be so wild. I don't know if you need to do a 3-on-3 tournament. Maybe you go back to the old school way where it's Eastern versus Western. You do 5v5 because they're not trying 3v3 anyways. So what's the difference? What are we doing here? I think
3 is too few. You got to go 4 or 5.
And the other thing, it's not like I almost said the F word there and I caught myself. Brock Nelson's in the All-Star game. I love Brock Nelson. He's not an All-Star. Like, have the best players in. You know what? I bet you nobody really down in Arizona cares who's in the All-Star game. I bet you nobody down in Florida really cares if Matthew Tkachuk and Sasha Barkov are in. Hell, most of the time when it's the hometown team, they have multiple players, right? Like, remember Petrangelo, Mark Stone, and who was the – oh, Marchessault were in Vegas. Wasn't that last year? Mm-hmm. They had a bunch. Barkov only got in because there was an injury. Right? Have the best players in. There should have been Pasta, Marchant. There should have been William Nylander, Austin Matthews, who's hurt. And freaking, oh, I hate Mitch Marner. That, what a terrible gimmick that was this weekend. That was awful. Just awful. Like, I am just like, I just want to watch you play hockey, Mitch, because your personality is not great. Sorry, Mitch Marner. Hope you never come on the show. Actually, I hope you come on the show to prove me how wrong you are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mitch can have the floor and just tell you how where sucky to go the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The Miami Vice thing's overdone. But, yeah, spice it up. Let's do it. But we've talked 30 something minutes on the All-Star game. I want to ask you something crazy. We finished last week's episode. We were talking about, and we said we'd never talk about them again. The Vancouver Canucks. We said we would never talk about it. Then all of a sudden I'm editing the episode on the Monday and guess who gets traded? Mr. Bo Horvat. I want your initial reaction. I want the Vancouver reaction. And I want to just let you know the Islanders cap situation for the next 3 years because it's ugly.
The reaction in Vancouver was kind of anticlimactic because they didn't get a terrible return, but they didn't get like an overwhelming return. The Ranty or Ratty, the prospect that they got,
he's looked great.
It's fine. Beauvillier, I think it was. Maybe I'm over Frenching that, but he's fine. Now they get another, you know, middle six winger. That's the one thing they have a billion of. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like feels like there should have been a bigger offer out there, but it's just kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I'm happy it's over. I'm happy it's over.
But it was also like, I think it makes the Islanders better. But I was talking to a buddy of mine today, and it just kind of feels a little weird because that was already a team that has like, I mean, what was it between Barzal, Pageau, and Nelson? They already have kind of solid centers, but no superstar center. And Horvat's better than all of them at center, I'd say, but he's not, still not that much. Like, he's not like a superstar game changer. He's a really good hockey player, and any team would be lucky to have him. But I don't know if it's like, oh, good, but now we have our superstar center that's dominant. It's he's good. He's very, very good, but I don't know if he's, you know, that. I'm sure they'll move Barzal to wing or something like that, but they're still trying to figure out how they can get the most out of that guy. That's a lot of unrealized potential, but it's also like they don't score. Like, yeah. Horvat had some like great year last year and good, decent enough this year, but that's because Vancouver's almost always playing from behind or trying to get a multi-goal lead that they can't hold on to. They've got some great scoring wingers on that team, and, you know, all other stuff aside, I don't know if that's like, doesn't feel like the missing piece for the Islanders, you know?
Yeah. So I thought it was weird on the Islanders like part. I here's what I liked for the Vancouver part. Let's get this out first. I thought the first round pick was great. The first round pick was great because of two things. I don't think the Islanders are in the top third of the league, right? So your draft pick's going to be anywhere from, it's top 10 protected, or is it top 12? Maybe, I think it's top 10 protected. So you're getting anywhere from 12 to probably 16. That's where you're picking from. You can still get somebody nice from that. Bo Horvat was drafted ninth. I remember they got that pick from the Corey Schneider trade from the Devils. So they drafted Bo Horvat ninth. So they got 12 to 16th round first round pick. I think the Antti Raanta draft, like that part of that, is really interesting because he fell last year in the draft, and I think he's been great this year. I think he's been fantastic. The part that doesn't make sense to me, they have been shopping Connor Garland. They have been shopping Brock Besser. They have been shopping every freaking winger that they have on that team to lower cap it. And they thought, hey, you know what we have to do? Let's bring in Anthony Bolivier. And I didn't say that French enough at all, but that's okay. who makes, I think it's like 4.5 or something like that. So you've just added another $4 million winger on a team that already pays wingers way too much. And the problem with it is JT Miller is not a center. He had a great, great second half with, you know who, Brucey B. His game just excelled. He was in the contract, not quite a contract year, but he could be up for negotiations in the summer. And he took full advantage of that. It was great. So they have a bunch of wingers and then Elias Pettersson, and that's their center depth. And they're basically trying to get out of Brock Besser, and they're trying to get out of Connor Garland. And the only thing that happens when you pay a winger $5 million, their values drops because there's 1,000 of them, right? They're nothing special. The $5 million players are nothing great. And when if you have too many of them on your team, it's not good. Now, what I don't get for the Islanders is why. Mm-hmm. They are a team with some terrible contracts, an older team. They are a team that has a bunch of good centers. And I guess Bo Horvat fits that mold of the grind them down, great face-off man. I think he's like above 50, except for two spots, center ice and left side. He's great. He's fantastic. He's having a career year. He's never shot this well in his life. But I don't understand why. They're not in the playoff push. That division is crazy. You just gave up a first-round pick for Romanov last year, and now you're giving up another first-round pick. I don't get it. Like, I don't get it for the Islanders. I get it for Vancouver. There's two really nice pieces. The third piece, hopefully you can flip. You're probably not going to flip because he's the $4 million winger that everybody, like, every team has a bunch of bad $4 million wingers, like, just cap-wise. Not player-wise, just cap-wise. So I actually would probably give Vancouver a B-plus on it. I didn't understand the sense that why they did it so soon in the sense that, like, I don't know if that's the best offer they would have got.
Especially with the awkwardness of him going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, that made no sense.
And then they All-Star people had no idea how to handle that because it was not something they thought they would.
Yeah, and usually there's a freeze at the All-Star game or something like that, but there were still games going on when he got traded, so there's no freeze. It's funny, like, he gets traded, and I'm, like, seeing all the Flames players all in Mexico and all their places. I'm like, well, that'd be a terrible time to get traded. Could you imagine mid-vacation? You're like,
oh, man.
You're gone.
I think we both butchered his name, and I'm probably not going to do much better, but Atu Rati. There's no N in that Atu Rati, and it is a top 12 protected first-round pick, which is funny because, like you said, they're not even in a playoff position now. And so
they'll probably keep that first-round pick.
It honestly really feels like it's going to get pushed. I think.
Do you still have it on? Do you still have it on your phone? Does it drop to next year unprotected? To the following year unprotected?
Doesn't say, but it does mention that I forgot. I didn't realize this. They'll be retaining 25% of Horvat's cap hit this season. You know what, neither here nor there. You'd think if you're going to retain some salary, you could get an unprotected first-round pick. But
or a top five. Like, for Bo Horvat, you wouldn't think top 12. Maybe I'll give him a B, not a B-plus, unless that first-round pick goes unprotected in 2024. Then you're sitting somewhere nice, because I think the Islanders are going to be even worse next year. But
yeah. Well, let's throw this. I mean, the Islanders have an interesting cap situation moving forward. I say interesting because at this point, I'm not sure if it's going to break good or bad, because the added wrinkle is that as of today, they signed Bo to a contract extension, eight years by 8.5 AAV. I don't know. Like,
here's the thing. If I'm getting this Bo Horvat every year, I'm taking that. Right? Like eight times eight, like 8.5. Now, the other wrinkle too is if you're a Vancouver fan, you just locked up JT Miller for 7.7x7, right? Nazem Kadri just got 7.7. And I'll take Bo Horvat over both of them, right? And that's eight. Like, if it was 8x8, I'm a little bit more comfortable. Eight times 8.5, he's 27 years old. Yeah, it's going to be great in the second half, kind of like the Mark Stone situation, the Jonathan Huberdeau situation, the fraud. No, none of these are great. Like Lou Lamoriello even said, after he signed the player, he goes out to the media and says, no, it's too long and it's too much. Like, it's just what the contracts are now. It's just, and that's, you know what? It's how it should be. These players have been taking like way less. Again, I'm not going to get back in the freaking revenue thing. We need to see player salary growth. And I'm not saying that because they make not enough money. They make a bunch of money. But if we're not seeing growth in the player salaries, we're not seeing growth in the NHL. And that's where we're at. So 8 by 8.5? No, by year 5, you're going to freaking hate that deal. You don't think so? You don't think you're going to hate that deal in year 5?
See, what I think is makes it awkward is having like a guy like Brock Nelson still tied up for 3 years. So looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Pageot tied up for 4 more years. Like, yeah.
That is a terribly constructed team.
Usually you have one of those centers. And if you're a playoff team, you can have two of them. Because one of them is on your second line and one of them is on your third line.
Yeah.
They've got 3.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they've been doing this for a while now where they don't really roll with a solid first line. They kind of rolled all their lines. And if they get into the playoffs, that might work. That might help them. But it's like, the contract's not terrible because they got him in his prime and it's the going rate for a player that good. It's not so much that. It's just that it is weird, a weird move by the Islanders.
Yeah. Given the only thing that's good about the Islanders is that it's not salary. It's not bonus money. So do you remember the Ryan O'Reilly deal where it was all bonus money? So July 1st, he gets paid. And Buffalo couldn't move him until after he got his big payday because actually he wouldn't be owned like any money, but it would be shown on his cap, right? Yeah. His money is like no signing bonus, which is highly like unusual for these contracts nowadays. Like where in its signing bonus, it's lockout protected. It's all that kind of stuff. This one, not any of that. So Bo just kind of took the big payday and away he went. But like you said, they have got some terrible deals. Like Holick is for 8 more years. Adam Pellick is for 7. Barzell's for 9. Lee is for 4. And Lee already is 32. Nelson's 3 more. Casey Cizikas is 5. But Horvat is 9. Kyle Palmieri is still 3, who is like, yeah, it's just not a well-built team. It is old. It is not fast. They do not like to score goals. Thank God the guy Ilya Sorokin, man. That kid's a stud.
I mean, but you look at the makeup of the team. You look at the contracts. By all accounts, it looks like they're looking at this 4 years in front of them as their window. Like, they see this as their window to compete.
Yeah. Their window shut, baby.
Anybody outside of that organization sounds ridiculous.
They've already done their window. They went to two or three Eastern Conference Finals. They did great. They're way past their window.
Like Toronto, Tampa. I mean, I guess
Boston
Rangers, Florida is. I'm obviously not there, but like, how do you see Florida last year and think that you have a window right now? I don't know. Pittsburgh and Washington are very much like in there at the moment. Buffalo's on the rise. Buffalo's ahead of them right now. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it makes no sense. Like, literally makes no sense.
I don't see this. And regardless of your style of hockey, because they very clearly are attempting to play a very certain style.
Yeah, they play a heavy game.
You got to be able to score some goals and you got to be in the playoffs. And that just doesn't seem like the move to me right now. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy
for a guy that probably could have signed in the off season.
Yeah.
And not giving up all that stuff. I mean, sure. You're probably going to move up both of the A anyways, but
look at that. You got Pittsburgh who is 2 points up and they have 3 games in hand. Buffalo has, I think it's 2 games in hand. 2 games in hand, they're a few points up. I just,
you know,
Florida's right there too. It's like, if I'm taking any of these teams, I'm taking Buffalo. I'm super high on Buffalo. Rasmus Dahlin's amazing. Tage Thompson's incredible. Dylan Cousins is like, they're fast, electric, and they're just beginning their climb. I'll take Florida because I think Sasha Barkov is better than any player on the Islanders. I think Matthew Tkachuk is better than any player on the Islanders. The only thing the Islanders have that Florida does is really good goaltending and defense. Their defense is quite a bit better too. But to go out and spend your one of your top prospects in another first round pick, I just don't, for Bo Horvat, just doesn't make sense. If they would have went out and got Timo Meier, that would have made more sense to me. Like, that would have made more sense to me. He's younger. Imagine him and Barcel on the same line. It's fast. They shoot heavy. He likes to pass. The other guy likes to, like, I feel like they just added the same thing they already have. And so what? You're just going to play even heavier? Well, it's not working for you. Like, it's not working for you right now. You got to have something like electric, and they don't. So I'm down on the Islanders.
I'll tell you this right now. We've been really negative. I want to talk about a silver lining in this Bo Horvat, right?
Yeah.
So this is something that, you know, we always, hockey fans, it's a more about of a hockey thing that I think anybody, anywhere else, any other sport, is that trade season. It's a highlight of the season that we can all get excited for. And it's a way of, whether your team is doing well or not, you can get into it and get hyped up. And now, not every year is that interesting, but I think with Bo moving so soon,
yeah,
because we still have, you know, a couple weeks to go.
I think it's three. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only did one of the biggest pieces out there move and get locked up, but it set a, instead of price, we've got a middle six winger, a top prospect, and a first round pick. Doug Armstrong of the St. Louis Blues over the moon. Because Ryan O'Reilly, as we love him, absolutely love him, and he likes St. Louis and he wants to stay long term. And you know what? That's exactly what we want out in the news as well. So that it's not, so that, you know, that we can demand a little bit more. It's, if he moves, got to feel good about the return. And then what we're really hoping for is that we get to pull another Doug Weight, where we can trade him for a bunch of stuff, whether it's prospects, draft picks, whatever. And then just re-sign him as a free agent in the offseason, which would be ideal. Because, you know, we don't want to lose Ryan O'Reilly. He helped us win a Stanley Cup. He was the beating heart of that team. He'll forever be a St. Louis Blues legend for that. And I think he still has good hockey left. But, you know, this is what the team's not getting it together this year. And so they need to make some changes. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that's going to add to kind of the excitement and for some teams, the desperation.
There's going to be one deal out there where we sit back and be like, holy shit, what? That guy got that? Like, it happens every year. Hagel last year, two first round picks. What? Like, how? But you brought that up. I want to do another little rapid fire with you. It's trade season, baby. This is, again, I get the families are moving. Trade season! Families are moving. Players are going. It sucks. But I want to do the top five players on the TSN trade bait. And I just want you to tell me where they're going, what your feel is. Yeah, that's about it. So we're going to start on number five. Mm-hmm. You touched on it. Your St. Louis Blues have a great winger, Russian boy, Vladdy T. Where's Vladdy T going?
Oh, Vladdy T can go any number of play, anywhere, really. He's a stud. I think, like, top three places I could see him going, and without really thinking about cap implications too heavily, mm-hmm. I think number three, New York. I could see New York bringing him in. They could use a little bit more scoring touch. Some of their young guys are playing good hockey, but not that. And, you know, the East is got to go through Boston, and who better than a guy who took the Stanley Cup from Boston and Vladdy Tarasenko. So for psychological reasons alone, New York Rangers should go for him. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are a big prime spot for Vladdy. They should have the cap space. They and he do. Would take the role. He would fill in where Pacioretty was meant to. And like, that's it, is that they had planned this year and they're playing great. And they had this, that's another team that the Islanders have no chance against. They had that room and they needed some of that scoring touch, that veteran scoring touch that they wanted to put in there. And, you know, unfortunately, Patches has not come back this year. And I mean, really, at this point, it's tough to say ever. So Vladdy, I think, is the perfect piece for them to put in. And to sub put in that spot and give them everything they need to get them over the hump. And, you know, I could see this is, I think Carolina's the most likely, and I'm going mostly to the East just because I think the West is a little too wide open for anybody mm-hmm. to be really desperate right now. I could see Toronto bringing in Vladdy because there's a lot of other talk out there, and we'll probably touch on other players. But that would be the type of thing that, for me, Toronto's missed the last handful of years, is bringing in a player in their prime who's won a Stanley Cup. They love to bring in over-the-hill players who've never won anything professionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's their bread and butter. But I think that you bring in Vladdy, just an absolute snipe show on an already strong offensive team. I think that gives him that huge scoring depth in the playoffs, which you need to have different guys firing every different night. And it brings in somebody who's been there, who's won, who can talk to them about it. And they don't have to worry about the long-term cap implications because it's just this season.
Yeah. I think rental wise, Vladimir Tarasenko is probably the best rental out here. His contract's up. He basically gets to pick where he wants to go. He's a pure sniper. He's great at what he does. And I think there's no real sense of urgency to re-sign Vladimir Tarasenko. I think he knows what he's going to do. I think he wants to go to free agency. Why wouldn't he? He's going to be 30. I think he's 31. I think it's a lock for Carolina. I think this is a Carolina type of player. Playing him with Svechnikov would be amazing. It would be unreal. So I think they got the pieces. That owner has told media, everybody, fans, he loves scoring. And if there's one player to add, it's Vladimir Tarasenko, and they are in a win now mode. I also think Calgary, but again, I'm okay if Calgary doesn't play, like, buy on him. There's been tons of rumors. The price is going to be too high. Makes no sense for that team. Also, he has a no move clause, and he has already said that he doesn't want to go to Canada. So fair enough. The next one is your boy, Mr. Captain of the St. Louis Blues, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
Where's he going?
Or I could also, again, just throw out there quick, I could see him going to the Leafs. Again, the Leafs are a team that they probably need to do something just to kind of, I mean, Dubas is on an expiring contract. And
oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think we all expected him to pull out all the stops. I don't think it would be overly expensive. And I think that realistically they could probably get him for overall a little bit less than what the Islanders just paid for.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Realistically.
I would love for them to get a windfall, but I think realistically it would be less. I think especially with Matthews being hurt right now, it would be a good addition to the team. And I think that come playoff time, it would give them exactly what you need, which is that third line capable center. And Ryan's dropped off offensively this year, but I think if you put him on the third line as a center and you put him in, like, you know, penalty kill special situations, it takes the pressure off of Johnny T, takes the pressure off of Austin Matthews. And again, you're bringing in a veteran who has won a Stanley Cup, which for some reason Toronto has never thought to do.
Nick Foligno, that's all they want to add. They want to add a bunch of Nick Foligno's and pay premiums. Just crazy to me. It's crazy to me. And they had him for like 13 games.
I would I think Colorado would be an interesting one to talk about.
That's the one. That's where he's going. I think it's a match made in heaven. Even though the divorce was ugly, I think he goes in there and it's a perfect fit. It's everything they want. And it's everything Ryan O'Reilly wants. He can go and get another cup. Probably, maybe. There's a lot of good teams this year. He fills in that role perfectly. Yeah. I think Toronto makes a lot of sense too, but I'm sitting here like boy, if Colorado adds Ryan O'Reilly, they have like center, like they are not strong at center. You're playing him with Landeskog, you're playing him with Rantanen, you're playing with him like Nichushkin. That is a great fit, and Colorado is going to add, and it's exciting. I think Ryan O'Reilly to Colorado, to me, is a lock. I think that's like after this, the best center's been gone. I think the need and the attraction to adding a player like Ryan O'Reilly has gone through the roof. I really do. Everybody wants a player like him.
Yeah. Well, how about this? You know, if we're talking about homecomings and fun stories, and again, this guy's an unexpiring contract. This is a pure rental player.
Yeah, pure rental.
So no long-term commitment. What if the Buffalo Sabres decide they want to kind of make a run, but they don't want to commit too much long-term? They don't want to sell the house, but imagine bringing him back home, back to Buffalo. You get him in there. He can talk to all the young guys about what it takes, just impart that leadership, that wisdom. And, you know, they're probably not going to make a run for the cup, but if they're in a playoff position, how much fun would it be for them to do that?
Yeah.
And just give the players that hunger, realize that we're not that far. Maybe they probably kind of are, but to light that fire, I don't know. I don't think that's very likely.
No,
but I think that'd be an amazing story. And I don't think it's an insane idea.
Yeah. The storylines around Ryan O'Reilly are amazing, but I'm going to jump right to three because it's perfect segue. I think the Buffalo Sabres are going to add this player. I think the Buffalo Sabres are going to add Patrick Kane, hometown kid. They want to add. Like Buffalo wants that. They want to give their fans something. They want to fill that rink a little bit more than they've already done. I think it's Buffalo. You tell me where you think Patrick Kane is going.
Does he stay? I'm not 100% sure that he goes anywhere. Having, not surprisingly, a bit of a down year. I mean, again, not surprising at all, given everything else around him.
Yeah.
Buffalo does make some sense because, again, same idea. You bring in a guy who's won before, who can kind of impart that wisdom, but there's not a lot of long-term commitment needed there, or, you know, it might not be dangerous. If Carolina can't pull the trigger and can't get Tarasenko, I think he makes sense there. Think about this.
He's got three cups.
Daryl Sutter loves
it. No, I'm shooting it down. we're not even getting there. It's not going to happen. There's like,
you've heard it. Patrick Kane's going to the cup.
There's no way. Nor do I want to pay that price for what it would take to get him. He's got 9 goals this year. I don't know. I think I'm with you. I don't know. Patrick Kane doesn't need to go anywhere. I actually kind of like the idea I'm going to ride with this franchise, even though it's a shitty franchise. I'm going to ride with them. What else does he have to win?
Yeah.
What else does he have to win? Nothing. He just started a family. He's fine, right? But the next guy, this is the next guy. And I want this to end so badly. We have a buddy in our fantasy league who is just drooling over this defenseman. Arizona boy. I don't even know why they're shopping him. It makes no sense to me. Jacob Chychrun. Where is he going? Let's end this for all of us, for every fan in this NHL environment. Let's end the Jacob Chychrun trade saga.
Yeah. Can't do it. Jacob Chychrun's not going anywhere this season.
Nowhere.
No.
Nobody's paying that price.
The ask is too high.
It's crazy.
Jacob Chychrun is a very good player, and he's got lots of controllable years. It's very desirable. But there's no team close enough and competitive that can pay that and still be competitive. And there's no team that thinks that that's the piece that's going to get them there. So the price is prohibitive at this point. Come the offseason, things could change because like any year, the offseason, you know, contracts expire, draft, you know, prospects kind of get a bit better defined. So there could be a team out there that says, look, given what we have here, given what's going on with now it makes sense for us to do this, to make this move. We don't think this draft is going to be deep, or it's not going to have what we want. So let's just give these picks up. Let's move this. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
I think if Chychrun moves at all, it's going to be in the offseason before the draft. I don't see it. People, I think the rumors that we've been hearing, which are wholly unreliable, it's just fan casting.
It's just but us. It's just us just making rumors.
Just the Toronto. People are like, yeah. Oh, Toronto. It's like, in what world? Why would Toronto blow up their team when they're this close?
Matthew Kynes is good, but he is not getting you Jacob Chychrun. I don't know if you guys have heard about the asking price for Jacob Chychrun. It's insane. And it, rightfully so. The contract is amazing. Yeah. His play is amazing. It's a great buy. I want somebody to buy him. Like, I want this whole debate. Like, where is he going? How much is he going for? He's going for a shit ton. And he's going to go somewhere really good. But it's not to Toronto. It's just not. I just can't. I don't think he goes anywhere. I'm with you. Off season, this makes perfect sense. He's healthy. There's no like surgery happening like it was that previous offseason. He's shown you what he can do. He's electric on a very garbage team. Yeah. And his cap is crazy good. You don't get players like Jacob Chychrun on that cap.
Here's some hard truth, though. Any team that's going to contend for a Stanley Cup,
yeah,
Jacob Chychrun shouldn't be their best defenseman. He'd be probably their second best defenseman.
I think Jacob Chychrun's young enough that, okay, hold on. Let me phrase this correctly. If the Edmonton Oilers trade for Jacob Chychrun, he's their best defenseman. Okay. it's not even a question. It's not even a question.
I mean, if the Blues traded for him, he would be their best defense.
I think it's going to be a team like that that gets him. I truly think it.
With Jacob Chychrun is that his contract is so good.
So good.
That it makes him look better than he is.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree. I'll die on that rock.
Yeah, is he top five defenseman in the league?
No, but I don't know if he's top five. I definitely don't think he's top five, but I would probably say he's top healthy Jacob Chychrun. I'd take him top 10.
We're not going to break it down right now.
But I think he's
top 25, and maybe he's closer to 10 than 25. But
25?
I don't think he's a top 10 defenseman in the league right now.
Mm.
And
who's top 10?
We're all just saying that like he will be better if he goes to a better team. That's not always the case.
It isn't always the case. I guess I understand what you're saying. You're saying the cap hit is making his play look better than what it is. Maybe because he's overplaying what his cap hit is. That's what you're saying. And I guess I can agree to that. He's overplaying what he's being paid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But his next payday is going to be huge. Like, who are you going to take, Jacob Chychrun or Zach Werenski? Who are you taking?
But what?
One makes $9 million. The other one makes $4 million.
Chychrun.
Yeah,
obviously exactly. Chychrun. Well, but if you swap those two players, Columbus is still garbage.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying Zach Werenski was like not that long ago was kind of in top 10 territory of defensemen, and he got paid like one. Yeah. You're taking Jacob Chychrun every day of the week over Zach Werenski. I don't know. I think he's better than what you're giving him credit for, and I think I'm saying he's better than what I'm giving him. You know, I think we're somewhere in the middle. Maybe top 15. Yeah, let's go.
Hey.
There we go. We made it. Okay, let's like end it on this one, the last one. I think he's the only the jewel of them all, qualifying offer, Mr. $10 million man. That's the fear with trading for Mr. Timo Meier. And I think in my head, there's two teams he's going to that make perfect sense. But where is he going to in yours?
Is he UFA?
He's RFA with a $10 million qualifying offer. So he could take the 1 year $10 million deal if he doesn't get a contract he likes. That's the fear with trading for Timo Meier.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you where he's gone. I think he fits perfectly right beside Nico Hischier in New Jersey. I think you put him on the power play with Jack Hughes. I think that's electric in Dougie Hamilton. I think we've seen it for a year now. The New Jersey Devils were in on Kevin Fiala. They were in on Johnny Gaudreau. They were in on Matthew Tkachuk. They've been on they've been in on every big name winger to get deeper, and they are a playoff team. I think Timo Meier fits perfectly with that. He's young. He's in that age group. I think Nico Hischier, Jack Hughes, Jesper Bratt, who right now it looks like he's not going to get that money. So if you're not going to pay Jesper Bratt, you might as well pay a guy that shoots nine times a game in Timo Meier. And that fits perfectly with that team. The other team is in the same area, I think, is the New York Rangers. And I could see one of their big boys, Young Guns, supposedly being shipped up the other way to San Jose. But yeah, I think the two New York-based teams, not the Islanders, because first of all, it makes no sense. They hate scoring. But the Devils or the Rangers make complete sense. Could you imagine Timo Meier getting sauced the puck from Panarin? Like that's unreal. Like that would be unreal power play. And you got that traitor Adam Fox in the back, you know, Calgary Flames draft pick that he said, no, I'm not going to sign there, whatever, here nor there. But still, those are the two teams I have for Timo Meier.
Yeah, I feel like given the implication of trying to get him long term,
yeah,
he's starting to strike me. He strikes me as a lot more of a pure rental. Mm. Obviously, I think anybody would want to, but like that's a lot. That's a lot of money, and not many teams have that lying around. So it makes it really tough. And if that's as great a player as he is, it puts if people can't afford to re-sign him, then how do you get any real value out of that?
The only thing is, what is he at, 23 goals or 28 goals? Let me look. He's at 28 goals. Like playing in San Jose, he's got 28 goals.
Yeah.
He's at, like, if you put him on any other team, he's a 40 goal scorer every year. That's $10 million. David Pastrnak's going to get 13. Easy. Right? Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to take the $10 million to qualify, like to get him to sign long term. I think you're probably looking at a 9.5, like a replica of a Matthew Tkachuk deal, something mm-hmm. like that. And I think at 9.5 over an 8, I think that's a pretty solid deal for any team. Like you have a high scoring winger who's clearly a star playing in a terrible franchise right now that has no identity, and poor Erik Karlsson's going to be left alone passing the puck to himself. So I don't know. I'm fascinated. These next couple of weeks are going to be awesome, because what we've seen over the past couple of years is a lot of teams are doing their deals before the trade deadline. They want to get that player to their team sooner rather than later, because you know what, it takes a couple of weeks to get accustomed to your new coach, especially if somebody like Daryl Sutter. I don't know, it's gonna be fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's I don't know if we're gonna have it as wild a year as we did last year. There was a lot of picks being thrown around, mostly by the Florida Panthers, and obviously they're draft poor now.
Ben Chiarot, unprotected first for Ben Chiarot, you dummy. I love it.
You got to figure they could have protected that and they would have still taken it. And
yeah,
it would be in such a bad spot right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's too awesome. Funny. Man.
I think that's a wrap. That we've been going for a while now.
Yeah.
That's a long episode.
Yeah. The one thing I just want to end on is the idea that everyone's coming around to, that I've been pushing for years.
Oh no, don't say
how grateful I am.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Not today.
I don't want to say vindicated. Okay, but I think that the player that I've always seen is now also everyone's seeing the same guy. So if you've listened to the pod, you know exactly who I'm talking about. If you can see the single tear on Tyler's cheek, that's another clue.
10.5 for 8 more goddamn years. It's all right.
Is it going to be 1 million for every goal he scores?
Who knows? But, oh, goddamn it. All right, let's end this.
Oh, man. Yeah, perfect. Perfect end of the weekend, start of the week. Gang, thank you so much again for listening to us, for hanging out with us. Check us out. If you're not already, check us out on YouTube. If you only know us on YouTube, check us out on Spotify, on Apple, on everywhere, really. We're everywhere you'd want to find a quality podcast. And we're coming in at the low price of nothing.
Free
for a unlimited time.
That's all right. Just come in, hang out, listen. Yeah. Might learn something.
Yeah. Gang, thank you so much once again. We appreciate it. We're grateful for my man Twigs, for myself Mitz. Thanks so much. Have a great week, and we'll see you later.